Good morning, everyone. I like to imagine that you're saying that back to me when I get up here and do this. We were joking a few weeks ago that it would be great to have a little recording where we can just push a button that says, like, amen and other affirming things. We look forward to getting back together with you all. So I want to just briefly touch on a little bit of history here, recent history. Back towards the end of 2019, the elders and I decided that we would set aside a day when we would retreat and just sit down and look at 2020 to discuss where the church might be headed, discuss some kinds of things that we might do. And it was during this elders retreat that we had decided it would be a good year in 2020 to talk about vision, to look at maybe where the church could be headed, to look at where we've come from, and to maybe do a little bit of discovery work to see where the congregation was at. We recognize that Millersburg Mennonite has grown and changed quite a bit over the last 3 years, and so we thought it was important to hear as many voices as we could about next steps and to be able to hear where you all thought we were at, and then also to maybe discover some places that we want to go as a church. And so this discussion led to what we called a discovery survey. And the survey went really well. Actually, about three quarters of folks that attend filled it out. And I just have to say that the elders and I are really grateful for all of the effort that everyone put in terms of honesty, in terms of just sharing ideas and thoughts and experiences. And we were really pleased to see how many commonalities came out of that work. As a ministry team, we took the time to comb through every single one of those surveys. I think there was approximately 40 in all. And we took all of that information and we compiled it into one report. And as we compiled it, things that were overlapping, things that were really dominant in answers for the questions, we compiled together just to see what would come out of that. And just a few weeks back, I guess maybe it's been a month now, maybe a little bit more, we were looking at what are the main themes that we discovered. And so we discovered six really dominant themes that had come out of all of that work that you all had put into it. And so we took those six themes and we developed a sermon series, which is the series that we're going to be doing over the course of the next 6 weeks. And today is the first Sunday that we're going to begin this series, and we're going to be looking at the theme of hospitality. So before we jump in, let's go ahead and pray together and take a look at what the Lord might teach us this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would be with us this morning, that we would be keenly aware of your Spirit's presence with us. Lord, we thank you that spring has come. We thank you for the sunshine and the 80-degree weather that's on its way. We thank you for the beauty of the trees and the birds singing and the grass growing. May we have hope, Lord, in the future, as we look at things on the other side of COVID-19, as we look ahead as a church of where you might be leading us. Give us wisdom in this journey. Give us peace in this journey, we pray. Amen. So if you recall, at the beginning of the survey, the first part, there was a bunch of questions. Most of these questions dealt with details about where we're going, where we think we are, things we want to see happen. And so the first two questions are the following. I don't care how much criticism MMC gets, we should never give up doing, in which case you all wrote your own answer. The second question that we asked is, when a newcomer goes home from their first time experience with MMC, I hope that they tell their friends that they experienced ... Now, for the first question, the biggest response that we saw out of all the surveys was essentially that the church should never give up being welcoming to everyone that comes into our midst. And then for the second question, the response was actually 32 out of 40 surveys said that they want people to experience hospitality and a warm welcome. Without a doubt, Millersburg Mennonite has been and is committed to being a welcoming faith community, which I think is especially important in the area that we live, where there tends to be more of a closed mind towards folks who are different, folks who are from the outside. And so I think Millersburg has found an identity in being a safe place for all kinds of folks to come. Now, I have observed over the last 3 years that as an expression of our welcome, our group loves to offer hospitality to anyone that would come into our midst. My guess is that for most of you listening at home, you've had a good experience with hospitality here at the church or in coming for the first time. And I would bet that it doesn't surprise you that the two big themes that came out were welcoming everyone and providing hospitality. These are by far two of my favorite aspects of Millersburg Mennonite, is the heart behind this welcome and hospitality. As you look throughout Scripture, you see these themes come up as well. Story after story shows the importance of welcoming the stranger and providing hospitality to people in need. When you look at the life of Jesus, his love for the world is often expressed through acts of invitation and welcome. You find him seeking and sharing hospitality with pretty much everyone that Jesus encountered. Whether that was sharing a meal around a table with people who were outcasted or pushed to the side, or something as small as filling up wine jars at a wedding, Jesus lived hospitality. And as Jesus ascended into heaven, you see the church take this call very seriously. They took on the call of Jesus to love and share hospitality, and I think they maybe even took it even further. See, the early church right away began to share everything they had, both within the group and with the community outside of the group. They were meeting needs both spiritually and physically. And they were opening their hearts to everyone that they encountered. And so a way that they did this is by distributing the things that they had to those who needed them. I believe that the early church, they wanted to do everything that they could to practice the equity of heaven here and now. It's interesting because one of the things that the church became known for in the community was radical hospitality. Radical hospitality became the telltale sign that someone was a follower of Christ. And it was through hospitality that many came to know Christ and his kingdom. And in our story this morning, as we look at Paul and Silas, if you look closely, you'll see that this story captures the cyclical and transformational nature of hospitality. So the story starts out with Paul and Silas simply looking for a quiet place to pray. The text says that they were walking down by the river to find a quiet place to pray. And as they arrived, they saw a group of women who were sitting there
maybe talking, maybe hanging out. Paul and Silas could have easily in that moment turned around to go and find a quiet place to pray, but they decided to stay and speak with these women. One of the women that was there was a woman by the name of Lydia, and she began to listen to Paul's words. And the text says that as she listened, that her heart was opened, and her entire family was then baptized. And Lydia, she is so filled with gratitude to have heard about Christ, to have followed God, that she persuades Paul and Silas to come and stay at her home with her. And it was because of Paul and Silas's willingness to change their plans, a simple act of hospitality that allowed Lydia to hear of Christ. And it was Lydia's gratitude that she insisted that Paul and Silas use her home as a place to rest. While hospitality should always come from a place of generosity, not expecting its return when it's given, the actual nature of offering hospitality is that it tends to inspire hospitality from others. Maybe you can think of a time in your life when you offered hospitality to someone, and it felt so good to them that they wanted to return that to you and to others. Genuine hospitality is cyclical in nature. In Scripture, Jesus says that that offering a cold cup of water, he talks about this in Matthew, has life-changing ramifications. See, you never know how a small act, something as small as offering a cold cup of water to someone on a hot day, might have waves of and ramifications that change the world. Something that small. Then we look at the story of Paul and Silas again. And the next story that's shared about them, I think, really captures a far more radical form of hospitality. We know that Paul and Silas are being followed around by this girl who was a fortune teller. And Paul gets sort of annoyed, and so he frees this slave girl from being possessed. But her owners don't really love this because obviously this girl was making them money. And so they take Paul and Silas and they have them beaten and they throw them in prison. And when Paul and Silas are in prison, they begin to pray and sing. We learn that all of a sudden there's this violent earthquake. And the chains fall off of their ankles and wrists, and the doors of the cells fly open. Of course, the prison guard, he wakes up following all of this commotion, and he's believed now that everyone has escaped. He's worried that his life's at risk. He just decides, rather than face a potential punishment, that he would just kill himself. But before he can, Paul shouts, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." So the jailer then calls for lights, and he rushes in and he falls trembling at the feet of Paul and Silas. He pulls them out of their cell and he asks, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And it's in that moment that Paul and Silas begin to share with this man the transforming news that Jesus is Lord. And what's this man's response? The text says, at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all of his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house. He set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. I want you to consider how radical of an act of hospitality Paul and Silas offered. They had been beaten. They'd been imprisoned. Imprisoned, by the way, for something that really wasn't even a crime. They had every reason to feel like they could walk out of the prison that night and it wouldn't be wrong. In fact, they could have even taken the earthquake as a sign that God wanted them to leave and simply leave behind the jailer for whatever fate might befall him. But they didn't. They cared more about his life than their own. In essence, they offered their lives for the life of their enemy. Now consider the radical hospitality that the... I think I need water. Would you grab me a water? Thank you. Now I want you to consider the radical hospitality that this jailer offers to Paul and Silas. This man, he takes them into his home. In the middle of the night, he gets down and he washes their wounds and he feeds them. And when he did this, he was, thank you, one second. Thank you. Sorry about that. And when he did this, he was not only putting his life at risk, he was not only risking everything that was dear to him, his family's life, his career, his status in society. When he did this, he was giving up everything. He sacrificed everything that was dear to him to return the compassion and the hospitality that he had been given. This man, he was a brand new follower of Jesus. As far as we know, he didn't know the scriptures. He didn't have right theology. He didn't even probably have the slightest clue of what it meant to live a holy life. It was not knowledge, it was not guilt, it wasn't even having it all figured out that transformed this man's life. It was the transforming power of radical hospitality shown to him in the name of Jesus Christ. And it was his experience of radical hospitality that became the standard by which he measured his own faith. See, the jailer learned that to follow Jesus meant that one must risk everything to offer hospitality to a stranger, including one's enemies. I wonder, is it possible that as American Christians, we have miscalculated the transformational power of radical hospitality in the name of Jesus? Is it possible that we've spent too much energy, time, money on preaching about Jesus through words and books and classes and sermons, trying to convince people with theology and guilt and fear and apologetics, rather than just showing them how Jesus transforms our lives? One of the greatest lessons that I have ever learned about the hospitality of God came from an elderly Syrian man who happened to be Muslim. As I sat there in his UNICEF tent, in the middle of a refugee camp, in the middle of the desert, on the border of Syria, I listened to his stories. And as I sat there, I drank a cup of coffee prepared for our group from his family's. They have these boxes, 1 foot by 2 foot of rations that are supposed to last 2 weeks. And in that ration was this coffee, and he's sharing it with us. And I sat listening to his stories and hearing the unimaginable struggles of what life was like as a refugee. He'd left everything behind in Syria. He'd lost everything. He had nothing. And after he finished sharing his story, he refilled our coffee once more. After he did that, he insisted that we stay for dinner with he and his family. You know, that dinner that he offered us would have likely used all of the rations that he had. There was a group of five of us, and then his whole family. That was all he had. Needless to say, we couldn't accept this meal. So after a bit of negotiation, because everything in Arab culture seems like a negotiation, we instead settled on tea. So we had some tea, and then we left. But can you imagine this? Can you imagine offering hospitality in such a way that you would be giving up the last of what you had, your sustenance, your food? You had nothing else, and you're going to give it to visitors who you've never met before in your life. Can you imagine that kind of hospitality? See, when I look at the life of Jesus, when I look at followers of Jesus in the scriptures, the kind of hospitality that I see offered all throughout scripture is the kind of hospitality that I experienced in a tent, in the desert, in the middle of a refugee camp. It's the kind of hospitality that changes your life forever. Every time that I recall this experience, it challenges me personally to be more committed to Jesus. It inspires me to practice the kind of hospitality that is worthy to represent the good news of Jesus. As a faith community who is called to be welcoming and radically hospitable, my prayer for MMC is that we would continue to do the good work of hospitality that is already being done, but that we would also be challenged, that we would be challenged to practice new kinds of radical hospitality. Radical hospitality that is an even greater representation of the good news of Jesus. May God give us strength. Let's pray. Jesus, we know that the greatest hospitality offered us was your life and your forgiveness in your resurrection. We are people that gather as the church because of your hospitality and love, because you welcome us to be a part of your kingdom. Let us not forget that as your church, that we have a responsibility to reflect that same kind of love, that same kind of hospitality. Help us to be people that live worthy of your gospel by offering radical hospitality. Lord, I think of the Syrian man that I met in Zatri refugee camp in the middle of the desert in Jordan. I pray that you would be with him and his family and his friends and all the other refugees across the world who have had their lives taken away from them, who are suffering immensely. And yet they live their lives offering hospitality to strangers from America. This is the kind of lives they live. It's a part of who they are. And I thank you for that experience that I could learn about hospitality, the kind of hospitality that reflects your goodness and your love. Be with us as a church. As a church who is in a community that needs welcome, that needs hospitality, help us to serve in that way. Give us the strength and the courage we need to live out radical hospitality to all we encounter. We pray this in your name. Amen.